Some of the greatest things that we receive in life, there was a price to it. There's a cost to it. Our freedom, our salvation, Jesus paid the price. Our relationships, every great marriage has a price to be paid. Things just don't fall into our lap like we want them to. It'd be nice if we could read a verse and get there and push a button and wham, and everything that it says, everything that we have, it just nicely, real clean in a package with a little bow on it. We can open it up and there it is. We didn't do anything. We just kind of smiled and received it and no effort on our side. But it doesn't work that way, does it? You say, well, I'm saved and I want it. Well, that's good. I need it. That's even better. But that doesn't mean you have it, because we don't get things from God because we want it. We don't get it because we need it. We get it because we receive it, the Bible says, through faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Hebrews 6:12. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. So anything you want from God that's revealed by his word of God, you can have it. The promises of God are yea and amen, the Bible tells us. But you have to receive it by faith through this journey, this process of faith.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Have you ever looked and say, well, that's not been added yet. This has not been added yet. God, maybe you don't really mean what you said, or maybe it's not available to me, but that's not the key. The key is that we have to find out how the king operates, the kingdom, how the king operates. How does he want us to do it? Because if we do it his way, we should have what he tells us is available to us.
Amen.
The reason I want to encourage you, because I think what happens in the church world, when we've been saved long enough, if we're not careful, we'll just assume, and it's almost like playing cards. Whatever's been dealt to you, that's what you try to play. But my goal is to stir you up a little bit today, that you don't have to play with just the cards that you've been dealt with.
That's right.
Well, if only I would have started someplace else. If only I would have been born in this neighborhood. If only I would have had different parents. If only I would have had a better... You can start and you can say and you can come up with every reason why you don't have something from God. And the devil will give you a list. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to stay with the way life is today. You don't have to live with the way the cards have been dealt to you. Can I get an amen? Now, I'm going to work you. We won't be long, but you need to participate with me. And so one of the things that happens is a lot of people, they don't even try. They just say, well, this is the way life is. I just need to get comfortable. If God wants me to have more, he'll just give it to me. If God wanted me to do it, he would have already done it for me. And you have to understand, it doesn't work that way. For God to force it on you, he would have to override this thing called your will. And he created you a will to choose. He cannot choose for you. If he could choose for you, he would make everybody get saved, because the Bible tells us that it's the desire of the Father that none should perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine having a church or being a soul winner or trying to witness to people and just saying, I don't need to witness? Why? Well, if God wants them to get saved, they'll just get saved. I'm not going to pray for anybody. If God wants it, it'll just happen. It'll just happen. Can you imagine having a marriage like that? Well, if God wants me to have a great marriage, it'll just happen. If God wants me to have a career, it'll just happen. I don't need to do anything. It'll just happen. No, James says faith without works is dead, which means produces no change. So what am I telling you? We have to quit. We have to change our mindset and quit allowing the cards that have been dealt to us. Sometimes you got to look up and see who's dealing the cards. Come on, somebody. You've been playing cards that's been dealt by the enemy, and you just thought that's the way it should be. No, you can say, wait a minute. How did you get to this game? Who invited you to sit at this table? What are you doing here? I don't want those cards. Here's a card. Here's a card of sickness. Here's a card of poverty. Here's a card of suffering. Here's a card of no peace. Here's a card of hating on people. Here's a card of people hating you. And we just take these cards and say, this is the way life is for me.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, then what we do is submerge ourselves in somebody else's life that looks better than our life. Typically through media, social, movies. We'll watch people's lives because it'll look, oh, their life looks so much better. And we basically, it's like numbing the pain. We numb ourselves enough to feel like our life's not too bad because we're living vicariously through somebody else. And not waking up to say, wait a minute, where I'm at, it doesn't mean it's bad, but maybe it's not all that God has for you.
That's right.
And if it's not all that God has for you, let's receive it by faith. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Say, what God has for me, it belongs to me. See, I'm not talking about being greedy. That's where people get sidetracked. Greed is wanting something that doesn't belong to you. I'm talking about if what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, if it purchased something for you, then do you want it?
Yes.
You say, something? Well, that's what the Bible says. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for us, has prepared, past tense, but he reveals them to us by his Spirit, which means that we need revelation, that our eyes open. But part of that prayer I just prayed, Galatians 3, we need our eyes open so that we can see what God has for me and has for you. I think one of the things for those who make it to heaven, and remember, good people don't go to heaven, forgiven people will go to heaven.
Amen.
One of the things that happens, I believe, when we get to heaven is we'll see what life could have been. This is where your life was. Here's where your life was supposed to be at. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and find out I've been living my whole life at this level and blaming God, blaming my neighbors, blaming my family, blaming my parents, blaming my boss. Come on, somebody, blaming anybody, blaming everybody, and find out that God said, get your eyes off all that stuff and begin to look to the level I'm calling you up to, because this is what you are available to.
Amen.
You mean I could have done that? Yes. You mean I could have helped those? Yes. You mean I could have had that? Yes.
Amen.
This is not to make us feel bad. This is to motivate us that in the process of faith, we can have what God says we can have.
Amen.
I just try to keep it simple. I try to keep it simple. I don't try to interpret the Bible by life experience.
Right.
Oh, well, I knew somebody who prayed, and when they prayed, they didn't get an answer to their prayer. Who was it? Well, it was my friend's cousin's nephew's neighbor. You don't even know their name.
Right.
And even if you did know their name, they're not Jesus. Come on, somebody.
Right.
The Bible says, let all men be liars and God be true.
Yes.
Can we keep it simple this morning? Can we not complicate it with all the things that the devil and religion and other people and life experiences has tried to muddy the water so we can't even see the reflection of who God's called us to be or what God has brought into our life? No, I'm telling you, we need our eyes open. One of the prayers you need to pray, like in Galatians 3, is, God, open my eyes.
Yes.
If you're so sure you see everything, then I'm telling you, you should be so sure you're missing a lot of things.
Yes.
God, open my eyes so that I can see what's available to me. Oh, I've done it this way for 100 years. Well, maybe you have. But if it's not right, you need to change course. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means there's a better way. I don't care who you are. We should all keep growing. We should all keep learning. One of my prayers is, God, open my eyes. Lord, if there's a better way to do what you've called me to do, open my eyes. If there's a better way to pray, open my eyes. If there's a better way to read the word, open my eyes. If there's a better way to reach people, open my eyes. If there's a better, I'm going to do the best that I can with what I have. But if there's a better way, open my eyes. I want to see. I want to know. I don't want to do 10 steps where God can show me how to do it in 2 steps. And I don't want to climb a ladder and find out later that it's leaning against the wrong building. Are you seeing my point?
Yeah.
I'm just climbing the ladder. What if it's at the wrong building? You get to the top and find out it's not your roof. Come on, somebody. You'll get that later on. So God wants us to receive, but we receive by faith. It's a process through faith and patience. And faith is a substance, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Now, we've talked about hope recently, that hope is confident and joyful expectation in the face of opposition.
Yes.
Confident and joyful. So you can be excited when you see a battle.
Yes.
When everybody freaks, you can look for the opportunity.
Right.
When everybody's hiding, you can begin to rise up.
Come on.
I just glanced over, saw Tony. Thank you for preaching last Sunday for us. Wave your hand. He did a great job.
Yeah.
So we do it by faith and patience. Faith and patience. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll throw this on the screen. It says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising. Listen, child of God, on the journey of faith, when you're being led by the Spirit, walking this thing out, it doesn't mean everybody's going to like you, everybody's going to applaud you, everybody's going to back you, everybody's going to support you, everybody's going to talk good about you. No, you have to get comfortable with the reality that there's people blowing wind to help favor you, and there's people blowing wind in opposition against you. But you have to be willing to stand up in the wind of opposition. You have to be willing not to be knocked off sail because somebody said something. You have to be willing that if they all dislike you or give you a thumbs down on your last post, it doesn't mean you failed and you should give up. You got to get to the point, if everybody leaves you and God before you, you're still ahead of the game. For greater is he that is in you. What I see that happens in the last days through the scripture, and I see what happens in the news, is two things that the enemy's tactic is. And Paul tells us we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. One tactic is a spirit of delusion. People get confused. They're deceived. The power of deception is you're not aware that you're deceived. That's why we need our minds open, our eyes open, our understanding open by the word of God, the spirit of God. Because anybody can follow the path of the least resistance. If you're following the parade of life and everybody's going the same way, that should be your red flag. You need to rethink where you're going. For Jesus said, wide is the road to destruction, and many follow that, but narrow is the road to righteousness, and you have to look for it. So just don't do what everybody's doing. If your choice of life is based on the top trends of society, you might be choosing the wrong source to follow. You might be climbing a ladder on the wrong building. Are you listening to me? But there's a spirit of delusion that causes people to see things that's not really there, and the devil uses fear to cause that. The second thing I see the devil trying to do in people's lives is not only create a spirit of delusion, but a spirit of discouragement. Because if you're discouraged, you won't fight. If you're discouraged, you won't try. If you're discouraged, you'll just give in. And if you're going to make the journey of faith, if you're going to achieve what God wants you to achieve, if you're going to have what God wants you to have, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, there needs to be a spirit of boldness, a spirit of confidence on the inside. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost that rises up big in you. Like Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 that says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I call you today to begin to rise in your light, because the anointing of truth is resting on you today. Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah. Arise and shine. We need a tenacity in the church. We need a tenacity in the church world. We need to get a hold of what God said, and when God reveals his word to us, and be determined that we'll not let go until we have it. Can you imagine? Today's a Super Bowl. Can you imagine one team taking the field, and before they take the field, they get in a huddle and they all get in there and say, okay, guys, come on. Let's all work that we don't embarrass ourselves. Don't embarrass ourselves and don't get hurt. Let's all play it safe. And if you get a little tired, just take a break. It's okay. Because more than anything, we just want to have a little fun today. They don't say that to a bunch of millionaires that sign these contracts. What do they do? They'll walk off the field and they'll have one knee and ankle all broken, bent out. And they're like, oh, no problem. We'll tape you up real good and put you right back out there. Coach, I can't throw. Why? My arm's falling out. That's okay. We'll tape it up. You'll be fine. Give them a few shots of cortisone and off they go. It's amazing to me how somehow in the church world we have adopted the mentality that, hey, it's like Little League. Let's everybody get together and let's all just have fun. It don't matter if you win. We all get a trophy anyway. Right, everybody gets rewarded for mediocrity. What's up with that? You showed up. You win. You're a winner just for showing up. If they take that to the next level, it don't work, does it?
Nope.
No, you go out there to win.
Right.
And yet the church has adopted the Little League mentality, and we're fighting the enemy that's in the Super Bowl, and we can't figure out why half the time we're getting our teeth knocked in, because all we want to do is make sure everybody's comfortable. Oh, I don't know if I can enjoy the service. The temperature just wasn't to my liking. So, you know, it's amazing when it comes to temperature. Some people are hot and some people are cold, and they're only 3 seats apart. Some of you are covering up. You got 4 blankets and someone is fanning. You got 3 fans on you. Ice pack on the back of your neck. cold drink in this hand, cold drink on that hand. Ice chest where your toes are going in. For some, we have learned to pursue God and the things of God based on convenience.
Come on.
And oh, if things get a little rough, why, Coach, I don't know if I can play. I can't do it anymore. Why? Because that guy on the other side, he said something not nice to me. He said he was going to hurt me. Well, yeah, that's his job over there. He's going to try to take you out.
Right.
What's the point? I don't know if I can deal with that. Listen, you got to get real. The devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he roars his ugly head to you, you don't sit there and say, oh, okay, I'm just going to go back, sit down. No, you rise up and say, I'm glad you showed up because I've been looking for somebody to knock over. I've been standing on this field long enough. I've been waiting for somebody to show up so I can show you the goodness of God, so I can demonstrate the power of God, so I can display what the greatness of God. Because David said to Goliath, after I take your head off, all the nations are going to know. I want you to know, some of us are fighting for the wrong thing. We got to begin to fight for the glory of God. We got to begin to fight for the purpose of God. We need to let the devil know, you mess with my house, when I get done with you, I'm not only going to whip you, tie you up, and take, I'm going to let the world know that Jesus is stronger than COVID. Jesus is stronger than cancer. Jesus is stronger than poverty. Jesus is stronger than racism. Jesus, we got to let the world know that there is a greater power. We're fighting for the glory of God. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is not the time to throw in the towel. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult. Hey, it's not always going to be easy.
Right.
Oh, it's okay. We want to live in a life of comfort, and yet we want to take the promised land with giants.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you fight all the time.
Right.
You shouldn't be in war every day.
Right.
But if a battle comes, the gift of faith on the inside of you rises up. You begin to say, wait a minute. That's the enemy. Some people think if you have a challenge, you must have done something wrong. It should be all easy. Listen to me, led by the Spirit is not going to the place of least resistance.
Yeah, right.
Do you hear me?
Yes,
God led his people, and many times it was like, okay, we're going to go to the promised land. But oh, by the way, there's an army you have to fight.
Yeah.
Okay. But I love it where God says, listen, this is not your battle. Can you imagine hearing the prophet of God saying this and you're thinking, I'm going to die. There's too many. And God said, listen, God's saying, this is not your battle. It's going to be mine.
Yeah.
I'll fight for you. Oh, wonderful. Woo! I feel so much better. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to lay your weapon down. Put your shield down. And I want you to pick up an instrument.
Yeah.
Oh, so we can be behind the lines? No, I'm going to put you front and center.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. If I have to fight and the odds are against me, at least let me take a shield. At least let me take a weapon. God, you said you're going to fight. Why are you putting me out there? First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, God's the power source. God's the one that gives you the victory.
Amen.
But there's something we have to do.
Right.
There's something we have to do. We have to be willing to stand strong.
Yes.
Having done all, stand. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Amen.
Do what God shows you to do. And in the journey, in the process, faith and patience, Hebrews 6:12, in the process, there's going to be times the enemy will try to discourage you. Listen, child of God, if you don't understand the power of faith, many people get it confused with the power of emotion. And emotion's a nice thing. It's like a sugar high, but it doesn't last too long. A sugar high will get you energetic. And you ever see kids? I remember years ago, they used to had a whole thing, sugar doesn't affect children. It doesn't make them hyper. And so we took our nephew out, who was about 6 years old at the time, and fed him pancakes. And within 2 minutes, he's screaming and jumping in the restaurant on the seat, just screaming. I'm like, mm-hmm. Sugar will give you energy, will it not?
Yes.
But it doesn't last.
Right.
Some of us have been working on the emotional high of of the things of God and works with a lot of energy, and we're hyped and we're jumping and we're running and we're screaming and we're praising God on Sunday. But what happens on Tuesday when the sugar drops? You got to be willing to have hold of some meat so that'll get you through the process, because it's a journey. It's a marathon. Are you listening to me? It's not bad to have sugar. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But don't live on it. You have to have more than that. You have to have more than that. And we understand that there is faith and patience, the process of faith and patience, the fight. The fight will last more than one round. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold. Say lay hold.
Lay hold.
Come on, say lay hold.
Lay hold.
Hebrews 11:33 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and obtained promises. Through faith, they lay hold of something. Through faith, they obtained the promises. Through faith, they received, inherited the promises of God. Through faith. Say through faith. That's a confidence in God's word, willingness to not only believe it, but obey it.
Amen.
That comes from your heart. Because Romans says, we believe in the heart. With the heart, man believes.
Right.
With the heart, man believes. That comes from the revelation of understanding that happens by the Spirit of God revealing it, Matthew 13. And the seed, when it has understanding, gets into the heart. Do you listen to me?
Yes.
We got to move past the surface stuff, emotional high, because some of us have the emotional high. And when we leave the building, when we face the giant, when the fire of the dart hits us, it has a sense to overwhelm us. That's why the Bible tells us to take the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts. The fire of the dart of the enemy is what overwhelms you. Have you ever felt and dealt with a situation in life, an impossible situation, an unexpected blow, and it not only hits you, it seemed like it overwhelms you? Does anybody in the house know what I'm talking about? It wasn't just a blow. It wasn't just a comment. It wasn't just a decision. It wasn't just a loss. It wasn't just a rejection. It was something that went deeper and it overwhelmed you. That's the fire of the enemy. And when you get out in the battles of life, you have to be willing to stand against it through the process of faith, because you know it's not overnight. But if you choose not to let go, the goal is to get you not to quit, not to throw in the towel. Can you imagine a football player today and they get tackled and they get knocked down, and they maybe get a little hurt, and they rise up and say, I'm not playing no more. Why? Oh, because that last play didn't work. No, you get back up.
Right.
You get back up and try again.
Right.
You get back up and try again. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody in this house, you have been knocked down, and the wind has been taken out of your sail, and you have felt overwhelmed, and you want to quit, but the Spirit of God is saying to you, don't stay down. Get back up and try again.
Yeah.
Don't stop. Don't stop when you get offended by someone. Don't stop if you fail. Don't stop if you get attacked. Don't stop when you want to. Don't quit. Do not quit. I'd like to talk to you not as a pastor, but as a coach. Get yourself out there.
Yeah.
You. Beep, 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 beep. No. Yeah, some of you are like, what's he going to say? Shout, don't quit.
Don't quit.
When the devil tells you to throw in the towel, what are you going to say? I will not quit.
I will not quit.
Come on, say, I will not quit.
I will not quit.
Say, I can't quit.
I won't quit.
Regardless of the cost. It's taken too long. So what? It's not a matter about time. I'm not going to quit. Through faith, they obtained it. You got a first down, great. Let's keep doing it. Why? Until we hit the end zone.
Yep.
Why? Because we're going to score. The goal is the end zone. The bigger goal is to win. The goal is the promise. The bigger goal is to get to heaven and having received all that God has for you that was available to you in heaven that you brought on earth to be a billboard, a demonstration of the goodness of God that other people may see the goodness of God in your life. If you wait till heaven to get everything, who are you going to share it with? They have it too. But if you get it now, you can share it. You can help people. The more you have, the more you can help. The more you know, the more you can help. The more you can do, the more you can help. It's all about receiving it here, not for your pride, not for your arrogance, but to realize that you are in the battle. for people's eternity. We are in the battle. It's just not about you anymore. It's just not about you. A few weeks ago, we talked about the little widow woman that had a little oil and said, they're taking my sons because of the debt. And the prophet said, what do you have? I don't have anything but a little bit of oil. He said, go get some empty pots and go into the house and begin to pour. And I believe with all my heart that when she poured the pot from the little oil she had, that little pot that had a little oil, I don't believe it ever filled up. But I believe that God's supernatural work happened when she took the little that she had and poured it out to something that was empty. And as she positioned the pot to pour, God did the miracle. But the Bible said that when the pots were full, she said to her son, bring me some more, because she saw the miracle continue to happen. And the son said, there's not any more pots to fill. And she said, okay. And the Bible says, and the oil of the miracle that was multiplying stopped. I don't believe it stopped because the pots are full. I believe it stopped because her faith and her perspective was, if there's no more pots, why am I pouring? And so she repositioned the pot and stopped positioning it to pour. She set it down. And when she set it down, the miracle could stop happening. And a lot of Christians don't reach people because they think life is just about them. And when they get enough and they feel good enough and they have enough, they stop pouring. But you understand, it's not all about you. We got to pour for the people in the streets. We got to be in a position of pour so the oil goes to the streets, so the oil goes to the hospitals, so the oil goes to the school, so the oil goes to our neighborhood, because there's people need to know that this Jesus that we celebrate, that this Jesus we praise, that this Jesus we talk about, he's more than a Sunday scheduled event on our calendar. He's more than just an idea to help us look better and live better. He is the real deal, and he can come into the pit of their life and bring them out, clean them up, raise them up, heal them, save them, deliver, and move them forward. Say, I'm not going to stop. Paul said, I'm at a place that I have fulfilled the assignment of God. But I am betwixt two, because I have seen enough of heaven that I want to go. And I want to tell you, heaven is real. Heaven is not a dream state. Heaven's not little babies with little wings floating around in a harp. That's a deceptive lie. Heaven is tangible. Heaven's got streets of gold. Heaven's got cities. Heaven's got mansions. Heaven's got it all. It's got mountains. It's got animals. Heaven's got it all. It is perfect. It is complete. And God will restore earth, which was created after the example of heaven, but was messed up because of Adam, who subdued himself under the authority and the power of the devil. But God's going to refinish and refurnish this whole thing. He's going to renovate it better than any TV show of a house renovated you've ever seen. He's going to bring it back when the lease is up. Heaven's for real. Heaven's for real. And Paul said, listen, I've seen enough of heaven. I want to go. But Paul said, but I also want to be a blessing to you. Can you imagine? Most of us, if we had an opportunity and had saw the clarity and the amazingness, heaven's so good that God won't show us because you wouldn't want to stay here. You saw enough of heaven. I've never heard of somebody going to heaven, and I've talked to people who have died and gone to heaven and came back, but I've never heard anybody who has seen heaven and said, you know what? I really want to go back to the earth. No, it's always Jesus coming up and saying, thanks for joining us, but you can't stay. You got to go.
Yeah.
We had one gentleman who's in the house, Mr. Ingram, who was years ago was having heart surgery. They had his heart out of his body. So his body was running on machines, and all of a sudden they had a power outage. If that wasn't bad enough, the backup generators kicked in, and then they broke down. So for 15 minutes, no power, heart outside the body. His wife, who I can see from a distance, wave your hands so they know I'm talking to, said that when the doctor came out to talk to him, he was so nervous. And he said, listen, I don't know what happened, but I can tell you, if he didn't have religion, he probably does now.
Right.
15 minutes, no power, heart out of the body, and they were able to bring him back to life. But if you're clapping at that part, you're gonna really like the other part, because that's just the step to the story. Because what they didn't understand, and when he came to, he didn't realize what had happened as far as power. But for him, he went on a journey, and he was walking in heaven. He told me himself, he said, Pastor, every blade of grass was amazing. He talked to family. It was the most amazing thing. And he said, Jesus came to him and said, you can't stay. Nobody wants to come back to this side of eternity if you've been on that side. I mean, that's like wanting to eat White Castles after you had Chick-fil-A. I mean, nobody does that. It's just, come on. And all the Chick-fil-A employees said, okay, there's more than I thought. I'm glad I said that. But Paul said, listen, I'm struggling between the two, catch the heart condition. He said, I know it's my time. I could go to heaven, and I want to go. But on the flip side, I want to be a blessing. I want to make a difference in your life. Can you imagine having a heart for people that you're like, I'll delay the amazing, the incredible, the mind-boggling, that can't be even put in words to describe. Paul said, or couldn't even put in words to describe it. He said, but I have a heart for people. Do you know why a lot of people struggle in their Christian walk? Because it's all about them.
Right. Yeah.
There's no team mentality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you get that, football's never been my thing. I didn't play it. It wasn't my thing. I love basketball. I still think I can play, but it's another story. But I would rather have five players that were average that played as a team than five superstars that felt like they didn't have to play as a team. Some of you know what I'm talking about if you played the sports. Because there's no momentum. The success rate is better if you have a team factor. Yeah. A lot of us struggle in our walk with God because all we think about is ourselves. All our prayers are about ourselves. All our thought is about ourselves. And I'm not saying you shouldn't pray and deal with that side of yourself. You need to. You need to build yourself up. You need to get the word in. You need to pray. All those other things are good. But if your whole emphasis is about you and only you, you're probably wondering why I can know that you're struggling spiritually. And I'm telling you, it's because your eyes are not on the team, on what God wants you to do. When you get so hungry and say, I got to live my life, it's not about me making enough money for my comfort. It's about me making more money to help more people. It's not about me just getting something that makes me look good. I want to pour. I want to live my life in a position of pouring because I don't know who I'm going to run into today. I don't know who I'm going to run into this afternoon at the restaurant. I don't know who I'm going to run into at the Super Bowl party. I don't know who I'm going to run into at my work. You don't know when God wants to use you and where God can use you. You just got to be in a position of poor. And for do that, you have to have an attitude. I'm not going to give up. The devil will say, quit. The devil will say, throw in the towel. The devil will say, why don't you just kill yourself? It's not about me. I'm already dead. I'm already dead, Mr. Devil. I'm already dead. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God. And I've come to do what God's called us to do, to reach people and to make a difference.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Take the next 30 seconds if you believe that. Give the Lord a hand clap to praise. Shout, don't stop.
Don't stop.
Now, two times you can stop. You ready? Now, keep in mind, faith, you ought to write this down. Faith is specific.
Yes.
So you need, if you're believing for healing, you need faith for healing. Your faith for finances won't help you with healing. Faith is specific. Faith is also personal.
Right.
You can't have faith to override somebody else's faith.
Right. That's right.
So if you're praying for someone to get healed and they have no faith to get healed,
come on.
You're better helping them just by spoon feeding them the word of God, because faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Just keep speaking the word in their life. Keep speaking the word in life. Build them up. Build them up till they get to a place of faith so they can receive.
Amen.
People get frustrated and say, I prayed for this thing, this person, and my auntie, and she didn't get healed. Well, maybe your auntie didn't want to get healed. Maybe she's just ready to go to heaven.
Right.
You can't override people's choice and their faith.
Right.
Do you hear me? But when the devil tells you it's impossible when it comes to your life and you're believing by faith, you don't have to quit. You got two choices that I think that it's okay to quit. Number one, if you're taking notes, a fair time to quit is one when you've obtained the promise.
Yeah.
Now you need to keep the faith active because the enemy will try to steal, kill, and destroy.
True.
So it's a different level. It's still operating in faith. And two, when you are looking in the fullness of the finisher's face.
All right.
Yeah. What am I saying? If you're believing for your healing and the doctor's saying you're going to die, you ought to have the attitude, I will not quit until I'm healed.
Yeah.
Or I'm talking to Jesus.
Come on.
Now this can, listen to me. Because it tells us, run the race set before us. Hebrews chapter 12. Run the race set before us. Verse 1, latter part. Run the race set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. We've been talking about that for a few weeks. The finisher of our faith. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What did he do? He got focused on the prize, the joy, and moved forward toward the destiny. We need to look to Jesus. He's the finisher. Most people just start with the author, not the finisher. From the finisher, in quick review, the finisher sees things differently. The one who's in the end zone sees it differently as he calls you to what belongs to you. And God sees the end from the beginning, so he calls to you and says, I already see you're the healed of the Lord because you're complete in him,
yes,
Colossians
sir.
Tells us.
Amen.
Say, I'm complete in him.
I'm complete in him.
So you begin to say, God, you've made this word alive. The doctor's saying this, I'm gonna fight by faith. I refuse to believe the doctor's report. That doesn't mean I don't use wisdom, but I'm going to choose the plan of God. I'm going to choose the will of God. I'm going to choose 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes I'm healed.
Yes.
I'm going to choose Matthew 15:26, that the healing is bread for God's children.
Yes.
I'm going to choose the word of God that says he took my infirmity and sickness.
Amen.
I'm going to choose that. I'm going to make that a priority. And I feed my mind, I feed my heart, getting the information and allowing the Holy Spirit to make a revelation in my heart. And then I stand on that with the determination I will not quit.
Right.
I will not quit until I obtain the promise.
Yes.
On this side, or listen, child of God, get the bigger picture. I want you to see this. You win.
Right.
No matter what happens, you're a winner.
Right.
What if I die? You go to heaven, you're still winning.
Right.
Right? There's no sickness in heaven. Right. You still win. There's nothing the devil can do, and he don't want you to know that. You win regardless.
Amen.
But you need to fight with the attitude. Never embrace the enemy's story. Always embrace God's report.
Amen.
And fight. Not when I feel it. I fight because his word said it. I stand strong regardless if I feel it, regardless if it's likely, regardless if it's probable. Romans 4, Abraham was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise is well able. And you stand against all hope, knowing in hope you believe that God who made the promise. And some of you are fighting for your life. Not everybody's fighting today, but some of you are fighting for your marriage, for your health, for your peace of mind, for the joy of the Lord, for the blessing of God, whatever it might be. And I want to instill within you a willingness to fight, that you will not back down, quit. You will not throw in the towel, regardless if it's hard or easy. That's immaterial. If it's quick or long, it's immaterial. It's not a matter of how long it takes. It's a matter of I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep speaking. I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to keep living. I'm going to keep looking until the only question you have is when, not if. When, not if. When, not if. When, not if. I'm the healed of the Lord. Not if. I'm already healed. I'm already blessed. It doesn't make sense, Corinthians says, to the natural mind. But for you to receive what God has for you, you have to step into a level of saying by revelation, God, I choose your word above everything else. Shout, I win. Come on, shout, I win. If I do not quit. Say, I win. If I do not quit. Shout, I win. If I do not quit. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're good. Bow your head and close your eyes if you would. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? In the way you process, in the way you understand, in the way you see life, do you know Jesus? Is he real to you from that perspective as your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, no one moving. If you don't know him, you can. The Bible says in Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, give me an opportunity, I'll come in. Give me an opportunity, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's with the heart man believes in a righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What am I telling you? A simple prayer can make an eternal difference. Because good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. And you deserve to go to heaven. He made it for you too. You don't want to go to hell. You don't need to live this life with the bondage and the of sickness and the bondage of darkness and the depression and the attack of the enemy over you. You don't need to live with the weight cloud of condemnation. No, he's called you to be free. He's called you to live in victory. He's called you to be free from sin. Let's pray this prayer together. If you don't know him, let it come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on the cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. See, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up my heart and my life, and I invite you in to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to do one more thing. I'm not here to embarrass you. At the count of three, all I want you to do is lift your hand so I know who I was praying with, and I want to speak a blessing over your life. Count of three. One, two, three. Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Who am I praying with? I see that hand right there. Anybody else? I see the hand in the very back. Keep it up. I see the hand there. God bless you. I see that hand, that hand, that hand. God bless you. I see the hand. Thank you. God bless you. Come on, church. Give them a bigger hand clap than that. Anybody else? I see the hand in the back corner. God bless you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.